For those of you who have been with us during the lead up to Easter, as I said, we've been looking at Romans chapter 8, and today we've got our Bibles back in the pews. So, which is just an encouragement, please, to make sure that you do your hands as you come in, and then we don't have to wipe every Bible. Just for the 3 days, last night, today and Sunday, there's this little blue leaflet for those of you who like to take notes. Last night, a number of us met and just had a reflective service, and we looked at the seven words of Jesus from the cross, those words there that many of you would know. But today, just briefly, those couple of verses in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 of Romans 8. What then will we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? The Living Translation reads like this. What can we ever say to such wonderful things as these? If God is on our side, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son for us, but gave him up for us all, won't he also surely give us everything else? How wonderful are those words. If God is for us, who is against us? And if we want proof, have a look at the giving of his son. So they're the words that I have just read. And our theme for today is he did not spare his own son. How amazing. God spared nothing. This is not hypothetical, this is reality. God gave his son. Unique? Yes. Infinitely loved by the Father? Yes. A private possession in a way. He was his Father's son. And he gave him up for us all. I want to emphasise that in verse 17 of this chapter, we were reminded of this. If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him so that we might be glorified. The whole purpose of Jesus' coming was to bring us to the Father and then to send us out with the mission of Jesus. To send us out as, I was going to say little Jesuses, but you know what I mean. To send us out in the power of the Spirit to be expressions of Jesus, but to make us his children. So we've just sort of sat at a family meal and had a meal together, which is a reminder of who is our Saviour. How wonderful. How incredible is that? So we have, as it were, God's ultimate purpose. His ultimate purpose is to make us his children. And he's not mean. God is not mean. If he gives his son, which is perhaps his most precious possession, is it likely that he'll then withhold other things that are for our benefit? I don't think so. I don't think so. He spared nothing. I think it's interesting, incredibly sad, but interesting to see the fight that's going on in Ukraine at the moment. And how sad it is to see, as we have interviews on telly, sons and daughters whom parents have sort of willingly said, go and fight for Ukraine. And some of you, I'm sure, have gone through world wars, and you know what it is to lose members of the family because of the horror of war. Now, in a way, this was a war battle. The battle with Jesus was the war of sin, evil, and God, and victory. It's interesting, isn't it, that here we have, in verse 32, he gave him up so that we would become his children. I was sitting preparing this on Monday and the phone rang, and a man at the end of the phone said, "Hello, is that the minister?" "Yes, it is. My name's Tony." "Oh, hi, Tony. You don't know me," he said. "No, I don't know you." He said, "I'm a Christian, but I've fallen, right? And I'm in rehab." And I said, "Oh, so why are you ringing me?" And he said, "I don't want money. I don't want you to come and visit. I just want you to pray for me that I'll be strong and keep my faith." I think it was Rose. You came in just after that, Rose, didn't you? And I was telling her, and I thought, because I was looking at this, that God gave us his son for all of us. And I thought, Tony is one of those people. You know, sometimes we think, oh, we're a happy little gang here, all of us. But actually, he gave his son for the world. And that's the message today that we should be on about, that it's for the world that he's given his son. Now, if that's the case, won't he give us all things? And I just reflected a little on the things that he has given us in a way through the Holy Spirit as we've gone through this chapter. And in verses 2, 6 and 9, what has he given us? Well, he's given us new birth. And as we sat at the table today, weren't we reminded that there is forgiveness in the blood? The whole of the Old Testament, sacrifice of animals, how grateful I am that we've passed that and that you didn't need to bring any sheep or anything else today. But the sacrifice that we now are forgiven, we stand forgiven at the cross. Friends, what else do you want from God? Is there something that you're grumpy about that you haven't got? And yet he's given his son and we are forgiven and we are now his children. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful Val, isn't it? It is good. Yeah, it's just great. So that's the first thing. Then he calls us his children in verses 12 to 17. So not only has he redeemed us or forgiven us, but we're now called kids of God. How fantastic, whatever age we are. So whatever your experience of your dad has been or your father, yes, put that aside and just have a look now at the fact that you're a child of the living God. How wonderful is that? Forgiven, into his family, now that's as if he gives us all a big hug and says, "You're part of my family." How wonderful is that? We only have communion until Jesus comes again. Aren't we glad when we look at the horror of the world that there is hope and that Jesus will one day return? Yep. Can't be soon enough, can it? No, it can't be soon enough. And so we have the spirit of hope in a world that often has a sense of hopelessness. And then there are times when we think, does anyone else understand me? I said to someone the other day, the older I get, the fewer there are who think like me. And but here we have a God who thinks like us. Well, not thinks like us necessarily, but understands how we think, our idiosyncrasies and our quirks. And isn't that good, Joe? Yeah, but at least God understands you. Yeah, so friends, this is the thread of the Holy Spirit. So are we going to say, God, I'm not really happy with what you've given me. I want more. Well, he says, I've made you one of my children. I've forgiven you. I've given you a hope that Jesus is returning, and I've opened up a way of communication so that you can commune with me any time, night or day. How wonderful that is. How wonderful that is. Friends, nothing, the Bible says in verses 37 and 39 that we'll look at on Sunday, can separate us from the love of God. And if we doubt that, we look and say, do I believe this or not? Do I believe this or not? Do I believe the cross or not? And if I believe the cross, let's say, thank you, God, for what you have given me. Through the cross, you have given me salvation. You have given me an inheritance, a hope, a way of communing with you, and you call me one of your children. The blessing of Good Friday. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you this morning with open hearts, with open arms, and like we saw in the drama, we stand before the cross, reminded of Jesus. We stand with Mary crying and yet saying, the Son of God. We stand with the thief saying, this man didn't deserve to die, but he has promised me paradise. And we stand with Nicodemus with questions about a new birth, but realising that his theology had been challenged and he would never be the same. Father, may we be challenged, particularly those of us who have been on the Christian path for a long time. May we not just casually say, oh, it's Easter again, but may the Spirit of Jesus touch our lives with a new vision of the sacrifice for us. And may we realise too that Christ died for all, and may we be willing to take that message. For we pray through Jesus. Amen.